Thank you for listening to the Bible Expositors Podcast with Pastor Stephen Baker from the pulpit of Harmony Baptist Church in Dalton, Georgia.
The second part of Genesis chapter 4 this morning, of course, we talked about Cain and Abel, and we saw that Cain, who Eve thought was going to be the Savior, actually turned out to be the first murderer. And so we ended on verse 16 of Genesis 4, which says, "And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord," which, by the way, was his choice, "and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden." As we saw this morning, God did curse Cain because of the murder, but God also showed mercy on Cain by putting a mark on him so that people wouldn't just go by and kill him. And it was Cain's choice, however, to leave the Lord's presence, to walk away from God. And so that's the choice he made. And so basically what we'll look at tonight is the results of Cain walking away from God and the family that he has. And so the title of the message tonight is, "Where Did Cain Get His Wife?" Now, I've titled it that because that's a question that everybody always asks from this passage of Scripture. Where did Cain get his wife? So we're going to talk about that and some other things. So first of all, we'll look at Cain's wife and family. And before we look at that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us be in your house tonight. I do pray that you would forgive me for my sins. I pray you would fill me with your Holy Spirit. I pray that you would heal those who are sick. I pray that you would strengthen us, help us, encourage us. And we ask it in Jesus' name, the name above every name. Amen. So, Cain's wife and family. So Genesis chapter 4 and verse 17 says, "And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch." Cain had moved outside of the presence of the Lord, and he'd gotten married, his wife conceived, and she bare Enoch. And so they built a city. And so we see that Cain did have a wife. Now, we're going to look, I'm going to read something about this, and this is from Chuck Smith, and this is what he says about it. "Now, at the time that Cain killed his brother Abel, they were probably 120 years old at this point. And by this time, there were no doubt many other brothers and sisters, children of Adam and Eve, who no doubt had their children, who had their children. So he could have married a cousin. He could have married a niece on down the line. There are many possibilities. The Bible doesn't trace and isn't interested in tracing all the families of men, just the one line to bring us to Abraham in order that we might come to Christ. And so he could have married a sister." Of course, at that time, it was not against God's law to marry your sister. There wasn't the type of disease, and apparently people didn't find it repulsive. Remember that Abraham was married to his half-sister. And so it eventually, under God's law, became against the law to marry your sister. And it also became disgusting and repulsive. And I know they still do those sorts of things in Alabama. And I'm sorry, did you hear the Alabama governor's mansion burned down the other day? All that was left were the axles. Do you know what a man says to a woman on their first date in Alabama? "That's a nice tooth you have." And those jokes are the fault of Steve Gregory in prison. He told He told those jokes, so I inherited them. But my apologies. So let's see here. But nonetheless, it was not against the law at this time, nor against nature, to marry your sister. So he could have married his sister, but he could have married a cousin, a niece. You know, it's been common to marry cousins on up into relatively recent times. And so Cain got his wife. Now, it's interesting what Chuck Smith is saying here, Pastor Smith is saying about God not being focused on all of the families, because really the lineage that God gives is primarily of what led to Abraham and then what led to eventually to Jesus Christ. And so even though Adam and Eve would have had many, many children, because they lived for hundreds of years at that time, and so they would have had many, many children, and yet, the Bible doesn't trace all of their children. It just traces certain ones, as we shall see in a few moments. So, in this case, Cain married, and we get a little bit of his family history. And unto Enoch, verse 18, was born Irad, and Irad beget Mahujael, and Mahujael beget Methusael, and Methusael beget Lamech. And that leads us to, now this is all Cain's family. And keep in mind that Cain had walked away from God. And so we don't know that everyone in his family didn't believe in God, didn't have faith in God. But we do know that families tend to follow what they're taught unless someone intervenes and preaches the truth to them. And so it would seem that you have an ungodly line here coming from Cain. And so we come to Lamech, and Lamech was the first man to have two wives. He was the first man to have two wives. He decided he'd get another wife. And the Bible says in verse 19, and Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of the one was Adah, and the name of the other, Zillah. Now, the Bible, God, when God created Adam and Eve, he established marriage, and he said, this is what marriage should be like. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. And so there's no idea, as far as in the way God established marriage, of having more than one wife. So this is something that Lamech decided to do. Now, I'm well aware that later on people had multiple wives, and it usually caused a lot of trouble. Yes. I mean, you look at Solomon and all the wives that he had, and the concubines on top of that, and it caused... It caused him all kinds of problems, though, and a huge bill at Walmart, or wherever they shop. So... Lamech took to him two wives. The name of the one was Adah, and the name of the other, Zillah. I don't know if... I don't know. For some reason, that makes me think of Godzilla. I don't know if she was repulsively ugly or what the deal was. But that was probably a nice name at that time. And Adah bare Jabal. He was the father of such as dwell in tents and of such as have cattle. So these people were pioneers. They went out and they established certain things. Those that would be Bedouins that lived in tents and kept cattle. And his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handle the harp and the organ. And so this man was a musician and created musical instruments. So you're talking about some very creative people, some very smart people that did wonderful things. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. And the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. And so John R. Rice commented and said, men were not heathen savages evolving from beasts. Note the civilization. Cities were built. There was agriculture and livestock. They made musical instruments, harp and organ. And there were workers in metal, brass, and iron. All this was inherited after the flood. There never was a universal Stone Age or a race of cavemen. Though Romans 1 tells of the degeneracy of wicked groups and of pioneering, although some men used stone tools and some lived in caves, it was not the norm of higher civilization at any time. Job speaks of people that dwelled in caves, and he speaks of some particularly, and Job was the earliest book in the Bible that was written. And Job speaks of some degenerate people that went off and lived in caves. And that's probably where cavemen came from. But nonetheless, that's not the way people normally lived. People obviously from the beginning had technology and they did advance things. And they worked with metals. They didn't go around like you see the Flintstones, you know, driving cars that you run with your feet that have stone wheels and all that kind of stuff. Nor were they dumb people that are ignorant people, I suppose we might say, that sat out in the caves like you see in drawings that were like, and drawing pictures in the stone walls and all that kind of stuff. There were people that did that, but nonetheless, there was advanced civilization from the beginning. And so this was the family of Cain. They did some amazing things. God blessed them in some amazing ways. Some people have taken from this the fact that Jubal created musical instruments, and so this was the ungodly line, and so we shouldn't use musical instruments because they were created by ungodly people. And in that case, we also shouldn't build cities, nor should we live use metal. We shouldn't use that either. We shouldn't do anything, basically. These people were given gifts from God, and they were created people, and this is what they did. We also see the second killing. The second killing. The Bible recorded the first murder was Cain, murdering his brother Abel. And now we see another killing. And I'm not calling this a murder because it appears that he did this in self-defense. But this is Lamech. And Lamech said unto his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech, hearken unto my speech. Now that sounds very pleasant, doesn't it? This guy was just full of himself. He hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech, and hearken unto my speech. For I have slain a man to my wounding, and a young man to my hurt. Now, the NLT expresses that and translates it this way, and so do many modern translations. I have killed a man who attacked me, a young man who wounded me. It's apparently he killed the man in self-defense. We can't be positive of that, but apparently he did, and in that case was somewhat justified in what he did. And in Genesis 4:24, the Bible says, if Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. So Lamech is a man that's very prideful. He's taken two wives instead of one, and he said, if Cain will be avenged sevenfold, I'll be avenged 70 and sevenfold if anybody does anything to me, because I killed this guy in self-defense. And so we see the second killing. And now we go back to Adam and Eve and their family and their immediate family, and we see that Adam and Eve had a new son. Now they had many children, but this particular son is important. And so the Bible says in Genesis 4:25, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God, said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. So now Eve recognizes that Cain, at first she thought that Cain was the Messiah. She thought he was going to be the one that would deliver them. And Abel was just her second child. And it turned out now she thinks, well, Abel was the seed that would deliver us because Cain ended up being a murderer. And so she says, well, now I've had Seth, and Seth is the new seed whom God has appointed. And indeed, if you trace the line, it just didn't happen immediately the way Eve thought, but if you trace the line, Seth is part of this godly line that goes on down, and we see through Noah, and we see through Abraham, we see through the Jews, the Jewish nation, and that eventually would lead to Jesus Christ. So the name Seth means compensation or substituted, because indeed she said that God has appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. Genesis 4:26, and to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. And that expression means either that men begin to be called by the name of the Lord, as it can be translated, or that men begin to gather for public worship and call on the name of the Lord as opposed to just worshiping privately with their families. One way or another, men begin to call on the name of the Lord. And we assume that this group that called on the name of the Lord, if they met together and started having public worship and calling on the name of the Lord, then we assume that they began to be called by the name of the Lord, because there were two groups of people. There was the godly line, which was Seth and his family, and then there was the ungodly line, which was Cain and his family. And eventually, these two lines of people got to the point to where the Bible says later on, when we study Noah, we'll see that the daughters of men started marrying and getting together with the sons of God, and they produced a line of people who were very violent, very violent. And the only ones that God could reach in the end were Noah and his family. And so we see here the importance of how we raise our children. Notice that in this story that Cain said, I'm going to go from the presence of the Lord. I don't want God anymore. I'm walking away from God, and I'm going to go. And he did great things. He built a city. He had children that created musical instruments that created a whole lifestyle of living in tents and raising cattle and all these kind of things. He created many things. He had a great family, but he did not teach his family about God. He didn't teach them to worship God. And yet, Adam and Eve, they have Seth, and Seth is the godly line. And so, we see what's important. And what's important is not just accomplishing great things and teaching our children how to make money and how to do wonderful things, but it's important that we have our children in church and that we teach our children about God. And that is critical for rearing children and having children that want to follow God. And so it's very important now that you're in church, that you are doing the right thing. Because even if your children are not in church, if they see that you're in church, eventually it's going to rub off on them. The Bible says, bring up a child in the way he should grow, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So eventually it will rub off. So it's important that you don't quit and you don't give up. You have to be an example to your children, even your grown adult children. Because not all grown adult children do right. Some of them don't do right. Some of them don't go to church, and they don't take their kids to church. So it's important, just as men begin to gather together and call on the name of the Lord back then, it's important that we still do that today, that we gather together, that we call on the name of the Lord corporately in worship, and that we set the right example and for our sons and grandsons and granddaughters and for our church. And so I appreciate everybody being here tonight, and we will go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer, and then we will go into the Lord's Supper. So let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us be in your house tonight. I do pray that we would focus on what's really important, which is you, and bringing up our children, setting a good example for our children and our families. And we do pray that we would continue to be faithful to your house and to be faithful to you in our homes, and that we would do what we need to do. We pray if there are things that need to be gotten right, that we would get those things right tonight. We pray if anyone's not saved, that you convict them and save them. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.